Freddie Hubbard on trumpet with Red Clay. It was one of his most famous tunes. Joe Henderson on saxophone. Herbie Hancock on electric piano. Ron Carter on bass. And Lenny White on drums. This is the title track, I should say, from Hubbard's 1970 album. And I hadn't played it in a while, so I figured, why not? This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we begin this week in a state. We just should just leave it as that. We begin it in a state of confusion, a state of anger, a state of angst about just where things are and just where we are. This is the week in which several things would be made clearer to us, and hopefully that informs our actions and opinions. I have no shame at all in telling you, I had a miserable weekend. The killing of George Floyd is very fresh in my mind. And I can't seem to shake the idea that, I don't want it to be an academic subject. I want it to be as brutal as it really was, so that we can see our relationship to the state or the state apparatus more clearly. So many of us are lost. So many of us have lost our way, and we think we have progressed as a people. And that includes people who are known in this country as white people. There is a fallacy that we are living with, and that is that we have covered a lot of ground since the days of the civil rights struggles, and we're well on our way. We have progressed. No, we haven't. We haven't progressed at all. George Floyd and the cause and manner of his death remind us that there's a long way to go. And we see from media coverage that there is an enthusiasm now in pumping Trump up so that he can truly emerge in his full manifestation as the leader this country really wants, the leader this country really needs. He wasn't able to provide these kinds of answers in, the last 2 weeks at least. But even before that, the coronavirus seemed to tap the last three good thoughts that he had. And his administration, if you want to call it that, his misadministration, they're just confused. One side isn't talking to the other. There's a big war going on in the White House as to who gets to call the shots and who will deliver victory for Trump. They're all fighting each other to impress him as to who could be more odious. Who could be more offensive? And who could deliver to Trump what Trump most needs at this time. And what he needs at this time is victory. He needs to amass not just the base that he already had organized that brought him to power the first time, but there are people eager to show him that they have expanded his base, younger people, more conservative than the ones that joined his band of before. They now supposedly are dying to get into the ring with Trump to show their fidelity and their belief that he is the right leader. And with that kind of sentiment, it encourages Trump to expand his own notion of authority and leadership, if you want to call it that. So he is now calling upon the apparatus of the state, each state, to radically alter the way it does business. In fact, he liked the idea of how the police sapped the last few breaths from George Floyd. That's the kind of thing he likes. Show people who is boss. We're sick and tired of these people just causing trouble and being in the way of progress. So now he is taking a more hands-on approach, a more direct involvement in running each state and the law enforcement apparatus of each state. The man is mad, 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 mad with power or the notion of power. And his ability, as a matter of fact, he's mad with his ability to give the people what they want. And what they want is a strong man like Donald Trump, not those weaklings called governors and state officials. He is the one who's calling the shots. So he has completely overshot his power and authority, or I should say, the power and authority of his office. And the Republican Party is letting him, giving him broad permission to exceed his authority. And now it seems he is the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. He's telling people what to do and how to do it. He is asking the governors to stop being such weaklings. Because, he's a strong man. He knows how to do that. And all we have to do is do what he tells us to do. And life will be sweet. And the more that we get into this case and cases like it, and the temperature of our times, we see how he's unfolding his true self. He's exposing his true self as a freak, a power freak, an Adolf Hitler who wants to run the country, including the trains, make sure they're on time. Wants to make sure that everybody knows he's the boss. And we are just tenants in his universe. And he can do whatever he wishes. He has the permission of the Republican Party and people of influence. And that is where he is at this time in his life. It's unfolding. He is power hungry. He has had to admit at some point over this past week that he does not have what it takes to be a leader. So he's going all the more out there to let people know that he is a leader. He isn't. He knows it. He doesn't have what it takes. On this matter of the coronavirus, when a president can move past, without any trouble, move past the deaths of more than 100,000 fellow Americans and not bat an eye, not pause a second to say, this is a terrible thing and I'm going to work very hard to eradicate it. Something. He says nothing. It's as if they never existed. But I may be over-exaggerating things. That's the way he treats his children, as being, incidental to his life. His wives, his children, his cat, his dog, his squirrel, whatever pets they have. He treats them all the same. There is no human dimension to this man. And he likes it that way. This is how he has lived his life. And we see the direct link here, as for those of you who are budding psychology experts, you see that the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree. The nation, one of the most powerful nations on the planet, is finally his personal possession. And so he can do whatever he wishes with it. And he can do to the people of this nation whatever he wishes to do to them, to us. So I was in a state of malaise over the weekend. I was very upset that we are not confronting this man and his administration the right way. And in fact, we are acting more and more like him. This is a time to be thoughtful, not filled with outrage. And I understand that. I understand why people are so angry. I understand it more than you know. George Floyd did not deserve to die that way. But he did. And we weren't especially thoughtful in our response or mature in our response. I know I'm going to upset some people, but burning things down, buildings down, and creating havoc is not a response. It's a reaction. And not necessarily thoughtful. And was proof positive that our communities need to really get into this business of organizing and organizing effectively. Organizing does not look like what we saw over the weekend, and it isn't effective, what we saw over the weekend. It isn't effective. In this case, it feeds right into Trump's hands. Look at them. All they know is to burn down buildings and March. But when you're looking for substance, I have to admit, we're very short on that. Because we confuse organization and protest. Our communities are not sufficiently well organized to sustain protest. Protest is something you drop into and, you spend a good 4 hours at it, and then you're off to the movies or something. And yet these things that we continue to experience are experienced over and over and over again. And it seems as if we are averse to the idea of really sitting down and considering our plight collectively. What is it that we want? From whom? How do we get it? How do we keep it? It can't be that life is going to be a series of protests and counter protests, which is the dynamic that has been set up now, and it's operating like clockwork. Something terrible happens in our community. The community reacts immediately and with force, but with the wrong kind of force, and unaimed force. And then it subsides, and we go on as best we can for the next month or two. Hopefully, nothing like that happens within that time. But our lives are a series of notches on a broomstick, each notch representing when we stopped to fight. Doesn't record victories too much, just chaos and disorder in our community. And the younger people coming up start to learn that this is the way you confront authority. This is the way we solve problems. We explode. And words like rage and words like anger dominate the discussion. Now, we need to be real quiet. We need to go someplace really quiet and do some heavy thinking and think well, comprehensively about our plight and what's the best way forward. And once we decide or agree to the fact that our only salvation, I've been saying it for years, our only protection, our only salvation is community. Of course, from time to time, we will have to, drop everything and respond to something particularly egregious. But for the most part, that is the very way in which we choose to respond to life. We don't have any long-term plans or goals. It's too tedious to sit down in a room and think out things and create entities that support our vision as a community and work hard at forming consensus and doing the things that our forebears were able to do. We just need to set some dust off of the books and read what's in them. What did they do? How did they fashion a way out of no way? And they have all these other things that they have to do. They have to work for other people. They have to earn a living. They have to support their families. They have individual hopes and dreams and aspirations. But they recognize the importance of doing those things, committing to doing those things that sustain a community, because that's your defense ultimately. I'm so sorry about the noise. As I tell you all the time, whenever the guys want to mow the lawn, they start right in front of my building. Cutting hedges, mowing the lawn, anything that would cause your trees to have a conniption. So I could hear them cranking up now. I can't blame them. They're just trying to make a living. But this is where we are. And we still have it. And we still should take advantage of it. And that is to try. We may not succeed, but the record should indicate that we gave it a good try. To look at this idea of salvaging our communities. And in salvaging our communities and rebuilding, reconstructing our communities, we actually build in self-defense. There are some communities in the United States, and you know that it's true. You don't even want to think about entering, although you're free to enter. You don't want to go there. Because the unwritten law says you can't come here. What are you doing here? And it gets very raw very quickly. Everybody understands the limits to such concepts as freedom and democracy. We have it, but you don't. So we're asking you politely to make your exit now. See? This business of 5 and 6 nights of burning buildings down and all that's very dramatic, and that has now become a template of how you react to oppression by turning it inward. Is so crazy to me. You have to realize the state we're in, and we have to modernize our methods and our weapons of fighting back. Why? Because in the blink of an eye, we will be useless. We'll be too old to fight. And we have not yet taught the younger generation how you do this, although the tools are readily available. We just don't value them. We don't think that there's anything important to learn from how people brought their communities back from the brink that were under constant assault by the system. And how they managed to do that while, taking care of children and holding on to a little piece of job. And how they managed to pull through. And how they made the church or a union hall the meeting place where they can vent with each other. They knew the odds, and so they didn't venture on waging a war with a system that could squash them like bugs. Instead, they thought long and hard about other ways in which they could win. All of the movements, when you think about it, that occurred in the most hostile environment in the South, even in the North, where people's lives literally were on the line, the record shows it didn't stop them. They just invented new ways of doing things. And so, through perseverance and community and thinking, they prevailed. And people to this day still have no idea how they did that. I don't want to sound as if I'm blaming anybody, because I'm not. I fully understand the level of frustration that people are living with every single day, expressed and unexpressed, but they carry it every day within themselves. So when the opportunity arises for them to express that frustration, they do it. But we also have to teach that that method does more harm than good in the end. It doesn't help us toward a true victory. It doesn't use our talents well. The only talents required is how far could you throw a bottle. That does not solve the problem. It does not bring closure to the one you're experiencing in the moment. It exacerbates it. It makes it worse. And it adds the one thing we don't need added to our existence, which is more time to suffer and struggle. Again, I'm not condemning. I'm saying it is apparent that some serious education has to go on. And we have to turn around our ways of thinking. Because we really are entrapping ourselves more than helping ourselves very often when we behave these ways. It doesn't help. So that's where my mind was all weekend. Why are we stuck there? Why do we think that that is a solution? Why are we encouraged to believe that that is an expression of manhood and womanhood, that you can fight with a guy or a woman who's in your way because they are the police? This kind of way of thinking is so, it's long past being useful. Long past being useful. And in fact, it is directly threatening to our very existence. We can't continue this way. And we need sensible people in our community to step forward and kind of carry that message. It's time to be thoughtful. It's time to be future oriented. And of course, I mean, that doesn't mean you give up entirely the right to react instantly to things that are so egregious. But action without thought is worse than no action at all. We have to invest in ourselves and our communities. And it's a process of education that only we can do. Only we can do this work. And only we must do this work. I've told people many times, how do you assess a community or neighborhood? All you have to do is to drive through it at about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. And you can learn everything you need to know about that community just by driving it through. You see children out in the street, unsupervised at night, at that time of night. Practically every block has a bodega. What are we? Are we hungry 24 hours a day? These are the manifestations of a lack of control and discipline in our communities. That's what it is. And you could do anything you want in our communities. It's okay. And you know there are communities you dare not even think of doing something that you think might upset people. Like you can't have a picnic, a barbecue picnic, and it's 11 o'clock and the music is still blaring and people are still having their barbecue ribs. No, no. That's a community out of control. Children don't have regularly scheduled homework hours. Again, no control. And these things are necessary for us to be sensitive to because they are instructions of how a future generation runs. These are not supposed to be alien concepts. When I was growing up, everybody knew what time was bedtime. There's no discussion about that. The house, we had nine kids. My parents had to run a disciplined operation. Otherwise, there would be no hope. You have to have order. And that's where we should start with our communities. They are completely out of order. And it doesn't seem to bother anybody. Frankly, if George Floyd came from a community that had its act together, excuse me, had its act together, there's no way anybody could get to him to harm him. We still see remnants of it. There were bystanders and eyewitnesses who tried to plead with the cops, which suggested that it isn't all lost. But in the end, his life was lost, even in the presence of people who should have been right there. and caused a situation such that whatever was intended for George Floyd, it would never happen because they were there. You see what I'm saying? This is what I was thinking about all weekend. We have so far to go because we have to correct the damage done to us by giving us false concepts to work with, false information, false knowledge. And we have to rebuild. And our communities should be such that nobody, police officer or not, you cannot come into that community and do this kind of damage and kill a person, and then it becomes an academic exercise. No, it would never happen. It would never be allowed to happen. I'm going to pause here. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk about this topic from your point of view at 888-874-4888, right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hello, Ms. Lead. I'm afraid I'm going to have to take issue with some of the points you've laid out, or possibly the spirit in which they're put forward. I'm
Okay.
old enough to remember the 60s, and I've spent the majority of my life studying on the things that failed from that era. And this thing has already gone far beyond George Floyd and the crime against him from the state. This has spread globally now. In fact, this sort of action has been going on. You know, there are 10,000, 100,000 riots in China every year, in India, against the state. We're picking up the rear. Now that we're finally getting moving, you're seeing the rest of the world join us in solidarity, something we never do for them. So the other people I've talked to who are roughly my age that I can still tolerate the cowardice of are talking basically the same line. Oh, these misguided young people, they're going to use violence and it's going to be counterproductive. Well, we didn't do our jobs in the last 50, 60 years. So for us to advise these young people now who are desperate, we have zero credibility. What we did instead was engage in useless political gab, which is like a leaf blower. It blows the things around uselessly and makes an insane amount of noise, but that's all. So we are in no position to tell these young people what to be doing. This thing is now global. And this is not just about George Floyd now, as it's just another chapter in the huge catalog of state political crimes against the working class, against people of every race in this country, about which we have done nothing but follow a screen around. Like we had our brains removed. Now, what we have to do, in my opinion, is stop pontificating about their potential failures and show some solidarity, if we can remember what that means, and support them and help guide it if we have any knowledge and they look to us for any guidance. But to sit back and just criticize what they're doing from our comfortable retirement is obnoxious and should not be engaged in. If if we were doing our job, what we would be doing is for the last 50 years, we would have been discussing and teaching the organizational tactics necessary for them so they could organize around their own ends and goals. We didn't do it. We're still not doing it. And what we're spending our energy doing is engaging in excuses for why we haven't and why we don't and why they should do it.
Well, that's not what I was saying, actually. I was making the very point that you're making, but it starts with the recognition of how far off target we are and how we got there.
We know we are. The question is now not how far off target are we, what do we do to get on? That's the discussion we never have. I've pointed this out almost every time I've spoken with you in the past couple of years. This is the discussion we never get to because we have to engage in meaningless nuances about where we are in Russiagate
or some presidential candidate, some imbecility they uttered. We have a unique shared history. And we simply need to recall it and use the available examples that we can use every day in building and rebuilding our community. That's my one theme.
It's our only salvation. Since the 60s, it failed. It didn't work. What we need is for all of us from every community to arrive at some kind of consensus about what to do. Just romantic, ethereal notions of some kind of magic community where we all feel the same, that's a liberal myth.
Yes, but that is also a misinterpretation of what I said. I'm not so naive as to believe that we should hold on to, pie in the sky. Not at all. Because I know we have ready examples of how people went about the process of organizing at the expense of their lives. This was not a joke. This was not for show. This was Fannie Lou Hamer almost was killed in a prison.
Organizing around what, though? We have to organize. Organize around what? We have to get rid of the state. We have to take over this system.
You're being very dogmatic. You cannot throw her contribution.
No, I'm asking you to define your term.
It doesn't qualify. It did qualify because, number one, she organized farmers and small farm owners. She organized voters at the threat of her life. She was able to do things that most people were terrified of doing.
What good did voting do?
I mean, what good did it do?
That's what I'm saying. What good did voting do?
Look at the votes that were developed out of the South.
Project is a failure.
Well, you see, you're being, I don't know what's the word.
Are you honest?
it was not a failure. And it is unfair to characterize it as such. Because she paid with her life. They sent men into her jails.
I don't question her courage and her knowledge or her commitment.
No, this is not a courage and knowledge. This is a woman who was barely able to read or write.
Yes.
And yet she knew that the work she was doing was so important, such a threat. In the little space that she started working, she knew they were going to come after her and kill her. She knew that. She said it.
And all these years later, it led to George Floyd and Eric Brown and on and on.
Oh, you're being supercilious, I have to say. You refuse to understand the point being made. And you just cast it aside as being unimportant. It is not unimportant. The fact is that most people have chosen to walk away. They have chosen not to look back to their communities and to help reconstruct their communities. That's what they've chosen. They've chosen the me way. It's about me, 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 me. They no longer have any ties to that thing we call community. They don't do that. They want to be wealthy. They want to drive nice cars. They want to live in posh mansions in the preferred part of town. That's what they want.
No one
they do not want
no
to be bothered with the nitty
the
gritty,
that
dirty
are
business.
In freedom, which was our
I'm
job.
Sorry?
No one told them what the cost of following that would be in freedom. You pay for all that kind of stuff in freedom.
No, you're missing the point. I'm surprised that you're missing the point so insistently. The fact is that we yielded. Many people yielded who were in a position to contribute very meaningfully.
Mm-hmm.
They yielded to fear. They yielded to panic. They yielded to, well, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
And so communities were left to fend for themselves. They were defenseless. And that explains how it is you have the Rough Riders and other people coming into town with their full clan regalia and setting homes on fire and all of that without even a hint of resistance. When you talk this way, it's condemnatory, and you need to watch that.
No, I'm
because
saying let's
you,
get
you were
busy.
Not there, and you
No.
did not have to deal with the awesome choices people had to make, and every choice that they had to consider had to do with the possible loss of their lives.
Oh, yes,
and
I completely understand that. I've been in that situation myself. What
okay,
I'm
well,
saying
that's
is,
great, but at the same time, you can't be so, high-minded that you choose to come to one conclusion without seeing the merit or without even considering the merit and even the lack thereof of your position.
I have listened to the advocacy of what you're suggesting all my life. It didn't work. That's what
How
I'm
do you
saying.
Know it didn't
I'm
work?
saying we
How do you
need
know
a
it didn't
different
work?
Way of going about this. Or if we're going to organize to do what? More voting? More
Said
gab? That doesn't
the
work.
Fact is, we all are saying the same thing, except that you insist that you're right.
No, I'm not insisting
and
I'm right.
There's only one way to think about this. You would be very, very wrong in thinking that way.
No, I'm saying there's a huge element missing that contributed to why things are the way they are now. My original point, and the one I'm still making, is the people.
If I were to ask you to itemize why are things the way they are, I am sure the most important points will have eluded you.
I don't think so.
Because they're not readily obvious. They're
no,
not obvious.
I think the reason that there is such a disjointed action underway right now is because the people engaging in it had no leadership from us, from their elders, from the people who went through this in the 60s, who mostly sold out the people you described earlier, who decided to make money and pursue success. These were the people who went through the 60s, who decided
but
in the Clinton years, forget it, I'll make money.
But instead of condemning people, You
I'm not
have not
condemning them.
exhibited the ability to analyze it, to understand it.
I'm
You are
not
more
condemning them.
interested
I'm saying
in
now is an
discussing.
opportunity for those
Let
of
me
us who
finish, if you don't
didn't.
mind. You know, it in the state that we're in, and we supposedly are purporting that we are at a point where we want to do something, we want to help. You have to listen. You don't know why things are happening. You have no idea. You think you do. But until you yourself get out and you walk the streets and you talk to people, you have no clue what is happening. And all of the suppositions that you are working with, you may find that none of them are useful because they do not reflect the truth of what is going on at ground level. This is a problem we have. People say, standing from afar, coming to conclusions as to why this is wrong
How
and
is
how to fix
defining a purpose beside the point? How can
it. It
that be?
is because it is your point. It is your
What does
purpose, and it is you doing the deciding.
because I'm making it's wrong?
Yes.
I mean, where's the objective view that
Because
you're
that is your
advocating
intent. Your
for the
intent is to
validity of the
sit back.
argument?
Your intent is to sit back and amuse yourself by listening to useless, in your view, useless arguments being made by useless people.
I'm
No.
saying, what has been the objective
You do not
result of
have
this
the
line of
mindset of an
argument?
organizer, I'm sorry to say.
No, I'm saying,
You
look,
do not.
all the
You do
political
not have
discussions,
the
what
mindset
has
of an
been.
organizer. An organizer would immediately accept whatever exists and try to make sense of it
Well,
to get
I
the
don't
big
know why
picture
you
of
keep
what they're working with.
diverting. Now you've changed the discussion to how we're having the discussion rather than what we should be discussing, which is
I
finding
am not
objectives
going to
for
place
this
myself in
rebellion.
charge of telling people what we ought to be discussing. I always prefer to ask them, what do you
Yeah, and I'm
think we
telling
ought to
you,
be discussing?
I would like to get to that. I mention that almost every time I speak with you. We have to get
Yes,
to
because
what the
you come
objectives
off with a
are.
high-handed attitude that you're not really asking any questions.
No,
You're not interested
I'm
in
trying to
knowing
push
the
people to.
answers. You're interested in telling people the answers. And that's the wrong attitude to have when you're interested in organizing. You have to listen, even when you disagree, even when you think people are wrong, even when you think they don't know what the heck they're doing. You have to listen. Because in the middle of all of that, there are salient truths that even you can't recognize. You have to be taught that.
I don't claim to be omniscient. All I'm trying to do is get the discussion around to the objectives of our organization to action. That's all.
Well,
That's
here's the
all I'm
point,
trying to
and
do.
the point I've
We
been
can't
trying to
get
make
to
to you,
that.
that is not our job. Our job is to facilitate discussion and let the people make their decisions. Let the people come to a realization of what they can do to improve their lot. Our job is not to go in there and fix it. Just like I say all the time on this program, people expect me to come in and educate them about what happened yesterday. That's not my job. I'm not anybody's intellectual nanny.
Asking
I
you to do
expect
that. No one's
that
asking
you
you
are
to
able
do
to
that in this
read
discussion.
and you are taking an interest in the news and what's going on so that when we come together on the program, we are in good form to exchange information and ideas. I'm not supposed to be teaching you. There are libraries all over the place. Go find one. and read and educate yourself.
Spent a lifetime
But
doing
don't
that.
ask me.
Yeah.
Don't
That's
look
why
to
I'm
me.
trying to have the discussion I'm trying to have with you.
No, you're trying to tell me. You're not trying to discuss anything with me. You're trying to tell me what I ought to be thinking, what we ought
No,
to be
what I'm
doing.
trying to
And
do
I'm
is
saying
to
to you,
say, let us
I don't
discuss
know.
what
I
the
don't not want
rational.
to put myself in a position of saying, I know what the people need, not me. I would much prefer to ask them. And I would much prefer to help them in whatever way I can to arrive at a point where they can take it from there. I'm not going to tell people, well, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do the next. No. You will never
No one is
catch me at
saying
that.
have to. I thought you wanted to have a discussion. What I'm trying to do is start a discussion about the possible objectives, strategies, and tactics of organizing and being in the streets. That's all I'm trying to get to.
No, but you see that right there, you still are missing the point. Let the people determine that. And if
Aren't
they're
we the
interested in
people?
if
Well,
they're
I'm one
interested
of
in your
them.
opinion or mine,
I'm one of them.
so
I'm not looking down from a cloud. I'm one of them.
okay, well, you're not sounding like it. You're not sounding like it. And
Reed, I'm
I take
sorry. You're
organizing very, very
obfuscating in
seriously.
order not to get to the actual important discussion I think we should be having. You want to
See,
discuss
there you
protocol.
go, thinking about what we should be doing. I'm doing what I should be doing. You having problems adjusting to it. I'm doing exactly what I think we ought to be
You
doing,
said,
which is
as I
attempting
understand it, you
to
said
speed things up.
what you should be doing is facilitating a discussion. You're not doing that. You're obfuscating the discussion.
Well, there you go. Well, let me put it to you this way. I can only do what I think I can do. And in my almost 40 years of doing this, I've gotten enough feedback that I'm pretty good at facilitating discussion. In fact, I don't like talking too much. I like people to talk, I like to listen. And to decipher what is being said, and to determine whether what is being said is what people mean. I've learned these lessons over several years. So I tend to want to shut up. If I'm talking, I'm talking. But when I'm not talking, I want to shut up and listen really hard and encourage people to talk to each other. Thanks so much. That brings us to the end of our program today. We'll join each other again tomorrow and continue it if you want. But thank you so much for joining me today. Bye bye.